Marie and the Doctor. Who knows what may come next?
But right now, we're going to talk about the thorny issue of music copyright and remixing.
Mm-hmm. And sampling and remixing and remixing and sampling and stealing. Is it stealing?
Yeah.
Is it fair use?
I mean, this is an issue that it kind of especially exploded back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I remember De La Soul released their first album. They didn't really get clearance for a lot of the samples that
Jive
they used.
Jive Bunny,
all the greats.
Yeah.
Being that Jive Bunny was put together by Satan, he actually supersedes most copyright law. We have someone who knows a lot more about it than us, in fact, so much so, he's just made a documentary, a mashup doco, RIP, Remix Manifesto. Brett Gaylor, you join us from Poland.
I am, and it's midnight here. I'm not quite as perky as you guys, but I'm going to try and get into it. Let's go.
Let's go. Have you been in a festival somewhere?
Yes, it's a festival called Planet Doc, and it's this very big festival in Poland, and they not only show the film here in Warsaw at this big, it's called the Palace of Science and Culture, but they also broadcast the films all over Poland at the same time.
So wow.
Very exciting, yeah.
Did you get royalties for that?
Somebody does somewhere. I haven't seen any of the checks yet.
And that's obviously.
Am I talking to Robbie or Lindsay right now?
All of us. It's Robbie, Marieke, okay. And
hello.
Lindsay.
Hi, Marieke.
Hi.
Now, RIP the Remix Manifesto is, I guess, centered around girl talk because of the last few years, he's the big one when it comes to sampling. In fact, everything that he makes is sampled. But you take it right back to blues artists and to Led Zeppelin and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the whole sort of, we structured the film on this manifesto, and the first point of the manifesto is that culture always builds on the past. So, you know, even though there's these lawsuits going on right now that are going after people for taking, you know, minute samples like the De La Soul that you mentioned back in the 80s, this is actually sort of a long tradition of building on the past. In fact, that's how art is always made. And one of the big guys that we examine in the film is Walt Disney, because, of course, all the films that we're all familiar with, you can take Snow White, Pinocchio, even Mickey Mouse was actually a character that was based on Buster Keaton's Steamboat Bill. So, all creators always sort of owe a debt to their past, but, over the last 100 years, with copyright getting longer and longer and longer, we're sort of, pulling up the drawbridge and saying, no one's allowed to build on our work.
Well, surely the Disney company's repaying the favor by, if they stole from Steamboat Bill, surely the Disney would let anyone use their stuff.
Oh, yeah, Disney's very liberal. Of course, they're not. They're actually, one of the most litigious companies on Earth, and they're actually responsible for the current state of copyright, because when Mickey Mouse was about to fall into the public domain, because, according to the original copyright laws, things were only copywritten for a certain amount of time, and at the very beginning it was only 14 years, and of course that kept going longer and longer. And then when Mickey Mouse, on his 60th birthday, he was about to fall in the public domain, this is in 1998, they lobbied the U.S. government and governments around the world, actually, to make copyright last even longer. So now it's the life of the author plus 90 years, and, Disney is suing people for painting Mickey Mouse on the walls of a daycare, or taking a small snippet of a work and putting it up on YouTube. So
fighting the real fights, then.
Yeah, fighting the real fight, taking it to where it matters. I guess what the film is sort of trying to say is not that we want to abolish copyright. It's to look at it and say, hey, it's really out of control, and it's really not making sense of this world we live in where information can be transmitted around the world for free, but not only that, but a lot of people are making new creative works out of the work of other people, and everyone can do it now, but it's actually an old tradition, and it's how art has always been made.
Okay, the voice that you hear on your radio is a guy called Brett Gaylor, who is a filmmaker. He's in Poland at the moment for a film festival and is presenting his film, RIP, a Remix Manifesto, and one of the artists who does appear in that film is Girl Talk.
Can I show you a mashup?
Sure.
So I'll just grab any one of those.
Highlight the first kind of percussion hit.
Put 0.25 seconds of it there, and then paste 0.125 seconds of it, which is half of that. So this is 1 second now. Taking his notes and rearranging them. and then I'll put in the extended version. Twice the speed and increase the pitch. So that pretty much sounds nothing like that original song. And I would say that's roughly the equivalent of, you know, taking a familiar Beatles melody on your guitar and rearranging the notes and putting a new guitar pedal sound on it and calling it your own song.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've got to admit, Brett, I actually mashed up your movie a little bit to get that to a length that we can play on the radio.
I know you did. I was listening. I was like, wait a minute.
So go and sue us, Brett. We've got Brett Gaylor on the line. Can we come back and have a bit more of a chat to you? Let's take a listen to an Australian band who've had their own little issues with sampling in the past. Here's the Hilltop Hoods and their brand new track, Chase That Feeling. You're on Triple J.
And I'm going to chase that feeling.
I wonder how many of those samples were cleared. That's Hilltop Hoods, who are playing. They've got the Bendigo Groove in the Move this weekend on the 15th. Make sure you get along if you're anywhere near the Bendigo area. Chase That Feeling off State of the Art.
Yeah, it's about 20 after 8. Hope you're having a great Wednesday morning. We've got Brett Gaylor, who's a filmmaker. He's in Poland at the moment showing his film Rip, a Remix Manifesto. It looks at the idea of music ownership and copyright and all that stuff. Just to take the devil's advocacy for a second, Brett, I mean, if you are a musician, then obviously the idea of somebody taking your work and then using it as their own and then making money out of it, you can understand why people would want to say, well, hang on, give us a bit of, a bit of due for it. What's your response when people sort of come up to you and say the idea that it should be free is a bit too much?
Usually I put them in a headlock, maybe put them to the wrong head. No, I mean, if you take someone like Girl Talk and the way he makes his music, if he was to conform to the law, he would have to pay each of those individual samples about $6,000 up front, because for each sample there's two sides, they call it. So there's the side that wrote the song and then there's the side that put it on a disc, and each of those wants to be paid up front. And then each song might have somewhere between 4, 5, 6 even different people who all want that. But the thing about Girl Talk is, and even the band that you just played, you know, there could be dozens, there could be hundreds of different artists that are used on one of these mashup albums. And the idea that paying for that up front is just untenable for an independent artist. Now, that isn't to say that nobody should get paid, and in fact, if you were to talk to Girl Talk about it, he would say that he'd be happy if off the sale of each CD, you know, percentages went back automatically to the people that made the songs. But the fact is that there's no mechanism in any law that provides for that. And it's just sort of another example of where copyright law is out of step with the technology that people are using and the social norms that are sort of building this new remix culture, where people don't want to just consume music, they want to actually participate in it and remake it and remix it, and that's a positive thing, right, guys? That, you know,
yes,
of course it is. And I should mention, of course, that Girl Talk does a lot of this remixing. In fact, what you heard just before the Hilltop Hoods, from his bedroom where he's sitting.
Wow, hot.
Was that one of the reasons you made this film, just so you could get into Girl Talk's bedroom and hang out with him and his girlfriend?
Well, no.
Or was it just so you could put Lars Ulrich on the screen as well in that wonderful debate that he had with Chuck D from Public Enemy?
I think it was more so that I could finally use Journey and Mickey Mouse in the same movie. You know, it's sort of a boyhood dream. It was fun hanging out with Greg, and he does have a really amazing life, and the amazing thing about Girl Talk is that he's internationally famous, and yet nobody really knows who he is. And that's, you know, another sort of testament to the power of digital technology, because he has this fan base. You know, how is it that a guy can play, maybe you guys have played it on your radio station.
Oh, yeah,
but I'm sure that he doesn't get played on, you know, ABC or SBS or any, you know, like the huge media. They can't play his music, and yet he's able to. Well, maybe they do, but
we are part of the ABC and we do play him. But we're not telling any. There's no lawyers listening to this show.
No. We're mavericks.
Yeah, we're renegades.
No one can tell us what
We've welded the door shut. No one can get in. No one can tell us what to do.
Actually, you know why you can is because radio is a sane model, and in radio, there's actually you guys all pay licensing fees to be able to be on the air, and then that money is then redistributed back to the artist based on what songs you play, and that makes sense. But why can't we do that for the internet? Why couldn't we decide that, you know, we would all put money, you know, when we pay for an internet connection, a portion of those proceeds goes into a pot, and then we figure out who's gotten downloaded and when. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because the record industry is so afraid of that model, because they would completely lose control, and then all of a sudden the middleman would be eliminated, and the artist would be able to control his own destiny and connect directly to fans. And that's what has them scared.
Filmmaker Brett Gaylor making friends and lots of enemies as well with his new film Rip a Remix Manifesto. Now it's screening tonight at Popcorn Taxi at 7 o'clock this evening at Bondi Junction. And the other thing is you can actually check it out online yourself, no matter where you are, at www.opensourcecinema.org. And the great news about it is that you're quite happy for people to do with it whatever they'd like, including remix the actual documentary, Brett.
Yeah, I mean, so we published the film under what's called a Creative Commons license, and Creative Commons is sort of a way of saying some rights reserved. You know, at the end of every movie and every book it says all rights reserved?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Creative Commons is sort of a middle ground where we say, look, we recognize that artists need to be able to exercise some sort of copyright to be able to make a living, right? We understand that. But there's certain uses that I actually want to declare up front are okay, so that I don't criminalize somebody for making a mashup of my movie, and I don't criminalize somebody for sharing it with a friend, right? I declare that my work has those freedoms.
Cool.
But for instance, you know, we have a distributor in Australia. You know, we have Gil Scrine, who's putting it out into theaters, and he's the only one that's allowed to do that.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
so we reserve.
I won't mention that I did copy it for Robbie and Marie. Hey, Brett Gaylor,
oh my.
Thank you very much. Rip a Remix Manifesto, it is in Australia. You can check it out at popcorntaxi.com.au or opensourcecinema.org. Have fun in Poland.
Yeah, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to call in tomorrow night, too.
Thanks, Brett.
Thanks.
Have a great time in Poland. See you, mate.
Cheers. Bobby, Marie, and the Doctor.
On Triple J.